the season of Lent is a great school for the spiritual life. It's the school of the heart. And the liturgy, the readings of the liturgy, are very carefully chosen to keep us moving along or progressing in our spiritual education. Today we ponder for a moment the place of the law and the place of Jesus in relation to the law, the Jesus who is the ultimate fulfillment of the law. In fact, he's the lawgiver, so he knows the law better than anyone. But these readings help us reflect on this mystery of law and fulfillment of law. Let's start with the passage from Deuteronomy, Moses giving a glowing description of the law he had received from the Lord on the mountain, and a strong encouragement to the people to follow this law, observe these laws and statutes, and when you do, it will be obvious to everybody what a wise and intelligent people you are, because you have such great laws. So he clearly has in mind that the law is a great, great gift. It's a gift that makes it possible for the chosen people to surpass every other people, because they have a better law, because they have been chosen by God and are guided by God. So that's the right understanding of the law from the beginning, from when it was given. And Jesus would completely agree with everything Moses said here. Jesus was a very faithful Jew and observed the laws in the right sense. Now, he was always accused of breaking the law, but that's because he understood what had been given to Moses. But even in the Old Testament, the Jews recognized what a great gift the law was, and they also recognized, I mean, they're not stupid, they knew that the law could be lived in a superficial way, in a hypocritical way. That's why the prophets, even before Jesus came, the prophets pointed out that there are wrong ways to observe the law, that it's possible to observe the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. It's possible to look good on the outside and not really be good inside. The Jews knew that. And so the prophets would often remind the people to draw close to the Lord, not just fulfill the letter of the law. But the danger is, it's easier to just fulfill the law and then assume I'm good enough now because I fulfilled all these laws. As if righteousness comes from my observance of the law. Now, Moses probably did not see the limitations of the law the way we do now, because it was such a marvelous gift and it clearly came from God. Jesus, when he comes and he speaks in the Sermon on the Mount about a new way of approaching the law, and he says, I'm not abolishing the law, I'm not undoing what Moses did, I'm not rejecting what was given to Moses. I'm not, even the smallest part of the law is still a divine gift and we should follow it. But he says, I haven't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Now, this was sensed by the Jews, that there was more to living according to the law than simply following it, but they didn't know what more there could be, because the law was the foundation. And who has a right to say anything other than what the law says, or interpret the law any different way? Who has that right? Jesus does. And that's why it's necessary for us to follow Jesus' approach to the law, or we'll be stuck in the limitation that the Jews face. Because after all, the law, as great as it was, did not have the power to take sins away. It did not have the power to overcome death. It really, even though it was a path of atonement and righteousness, it didn't have the power to actually make us righteous. It only pointed out our failings. So even if we follow the law perfectly, and who does that? But even if we follow the law perfectly, we're still not good enough. We don't earn our way into heaven. So along comes Jesus and says, I've come to fulfill the law. Now, fulfill is a packed word. Some laws that were only temporal, they were simply a temporary guidance for the Jews, like some of the dietary laws, those are already fulfilled. They're already fulfilled, so that's not a problem. But the eternal law, love of God, love of neighbor, honor your father and your mother, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, those laws haven't changed, and they're not fulfilled by our doing them. They're fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And this is the key here, and this is connected to what we celebrated yesterday. You see, when Jesus speaks about someone who obeys these commandments and fulfills them and teaches others to do so, the person who does that is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He's not telling us, do better, be a better person, because we can't do that. That's what the Jews strive to do all along. And there's a limit to what we can accomplish. We can't make ourselves so good that we enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when he says, whoever obeys and teaches the commandments that will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about himself. He fulfills the commandments perfectly. He's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Because he's not only a good man doing a lot of good, he's God. That's why I say this is connected to what we celebrated yesterday. Yesterday, the solemnity of the Annunciation was a celebration of the Word becoming flesh, of the Incarnation. Meaning, we are no longer simply in our human condition with its limitations. We are united with God in a completely new way. Well, God has united himself with us in a completely new way so that the human family can fulfill the law insofar as we are one with Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of the law. So we can fulfill the law in him, or by the power of his Spirit, which is a completely different thing than what we could do before he came. We were focused on the Blessed Virgin Mary yesterday. She did not simply say, okay, now I'm going to try harder and I'm going to become the Mother of God. It would be ridiculous to say a thing like that. No one has that kind of power. No one would even think of such a thing. But if God decides, Mary, I want you to be the mother of my son. I want my Holy Spirit to overshadow you. Well, then, if it's God's initiative and God's plan being revealed, then the right response is, okay, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Here I am. Let it be done to me according to your word. That's the right response. But you see, Mary didn't make herself holier or make herself worthy of the kingdom. God chose her and made her holy, and she cooperated. So I was thinking about this idea of fulfillment of the law, because in Lent, yes, we take on a certain kind of law. I mean, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we strive harder, we focus more, we dedicate more time, or we should, to our spiritual life. Not always completely successfully, at least I don't feel particularly good about how I've observed my plan for Lent. Some of the stuff I decided on Ash Wednesday, I haven't even done once. I can't believe it. It's halfway through Lent. Anyway, but we might fall into the trap of thinking, okay, I have to do better. I have to do better, and put all the burden on ourselves as if fulfillment of the law is what's going to make me worthy of the kingdom. That's the wrong approach. The right approach is to say, I have to do better, in the sense I have to be more deeply united to Jesus Christ, more deeply in conformity with the will of the Father, more ready to yield to the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's the choice we have to keep making every day. The comparison that came to mind between the following of the law before Jesus came and our following of the law now is, maybe this is because we were just traveling the other day, and we flew to Cebu, Now, the difference between land transportation and air travel is quite striking. Some of our people in the pilgrimage were flying for the very first time, and it's quite a striking thing to fly for the first time. It's hard to believe that thing will ever get off the ground. And when it finally does get off the ground, it's a strange feeling, like, what am I doing off the ground? How is this thing hanging up in air? Anyway, the reason I thought of that, of course, we just flew, but if we have a car, even if it's a very good car, even if it's in perfect running condition, full tank of gas or fuel, and it's brand new and it's very fast and beautiful car, you're never going to get to Cebu in that car. It's a limitation of land transportation. You can't get to another island by car. You either have to get on a boat or get in a plane. There has to be another way. So this is something like the law. The law is very good for what it is, but it's like a good car. You don't have to reject land transportation or say anything against the car. It's not like we're rejecting cars from now on because we flew in a plane. No. And neither do we reject the law because now we have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. No, it's still good. And that's why Jesus says, I'm not abolishing the law. Don't throw out the car. But don't think that it's going to get you to Cebu. Because it doesn't have that power. The law on its own doesn't have that capacity. What does? The plane. Okay, now it's a bad analogy perhaps, but it at least makes it clear that there's something completely different at work when we're talking about living according to the Spirit or living according to Jesus Christ and his fulfillment of the law. Because then what's impossible to us becomes possible. Not because we're better people, but because we have been incorporated into a much higher reality, that is Jesus Christ. God and man. God united with man, so now man can do what he could never do before. Well, this is what Lent is teaching us at this stage, and it's important that we get it, because as we draw closer and closer to Holy Week, we will encounter again and again our human weakness and limitation and sin, and realize the impossibility of making progress. So we have to keep returning to the reality that Jesus is not talking about more burdens, more laws, and more effort, and being a better person. Because if that were what it was, it'd be too discouraging. No, he's talking about another level altogether. Living still a human life, but in a divine way. Living with, in union with God in the way he has established that union. He's God and man. So when we are baptized into him, we have this connection with God, which we didn't have before, we couldn't even have thought of before. So that's why we can fly to Cebu. That's why we can make progress in the spiritual life, because God makes it possible in Jesus Christ. Whoever obeys and teaches the commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. All of us are made capable of obeying and teaching the commandments because of him, because of his Spirit at work in us, not because of ourselves. So we put our trust in him, we give thanks to him for the gift of the law and of the Spirit.